Reviews appear generally positive. That's excellent. So that was well over something like 1,500 hours of editing. So yes, that was a lot of work. But I hope what I really wanted the audience to walk away from, and what I wanted people who had never been to DEF CON to feel, was I wasn't really interested in making a movie in which you experience DEF CON as a series of, isn't it crazy? Hackers are crazy. I wanted something where you felt the people, and that's what we're made of. So that's what mattered to me. Let's bring on the people who helped make this. Russ Rogers was the liaison. We should be phone married. It never got to texting or sexting, but it should have. And he helped me pull everything together. Yep, Jeff wrote a check and walked away. Which is a major fucking deal. I want to point out, he paid me in advance, full. And the full budget ahead of time. Like, okay, now make the movie. Which is an amazing amount of trust. I don't care if you've known somebody for many years that you've known each other. So that is amazing. And my unbelievable planning producer, Rachel Lovinger, because I don't make movies this way. If you look at my other movies, they're like, I get to go to someone's house and talk. A finite 3 days, get it right or you're screwed forever, was terrifying to me. And she spent hundreds of hours planning out the shots. And, come on up here, guys. My shoot, we've got 5 of the 6 crew members here. Our buddy Rick is home, and we miss him. But everyone else, come on, come on, you guys. You've got my shooters. My shooters and my reporters. I shot a lot of things, but they shot a ton more. And what I love in that movie is you can seamlessly see the work of 3 separate teams and 4 separate teams at various points, seamlessly blending, because everyone knew what to do. So this is all my gang. So yeah, Jeff's all hot to do a Q&A. So if you want to ask any of us a question, this would be the time to shout it out. Yes, Renderman.
More of a comment.
What?
More of a comment.
More of a comment. Those are always appreciated in a question and answer.
Dude, free beer. What can I say?
Free beer.
There's still beer there. There's still beer, by the way. No. I've been trying to explain to the large quantity of my family what goes on here, and generally failing. This is something that I feel very positive about giving over to them and showing them and saying, this is what this community is about. This is what my family is about.
Yeah.
I am very proud of this work.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
One of my favorites, Renderman. Yes, hit with the question over the right. Hand up.
We've been trying to go to this conference for almost 10 years now, and now that we're here, have you guys ever felt almost unmotivational towards making this film in any way?
So, unmotivational? Drink! Drink! Did I have dark moments?
There's always a point where there's so much overwhelming work that you feel unmotivational. Oh.
Yeah, I think the experience, I mean, Kyle and I play a lot of Halo together, and I would bitch about running into the sequence or that sequence, or how am I going to portray this, you know, in many cases, you have to make really tough decisions about, I mean, I have many other pieces of footage that are some really emotional pieces or explanatory pieces, and, you know, there's probably 25, 30 people who I brought in, sat down, recorded them, and there's not a frame of them in that film. That's very hard to do, and there's also periods where I'm like, is this movie going to be 4 fucking hours? And so it was a lot of toughness to say, okay, I'm gonna cut this down. I mean, many of these sequences are 1.5 minutes to tell you about a 10-year experience like Hacker Jeopardy. So there were low points in terms of emotion, but that's just banging your head against the same thing for 100 years. So, yeah. I'm gonna get the other boys first. You already asked a comment. Wynn, go ahead, Wynn. You got your hands up and then you. Always
did
a person.
You keep out the majority of the god-awful shit-ass language we use around here?
You know, yeah, so there's only limited nudity, and there's only a small amount of language, because it just kind of worked out that way, a lot of the statements, but I made sure, this was on purpose, that someone goes, dude, what the fuck, within the first 5 seconds. so that I could just imagine mothers like jumping forward and slamming the off button. I'm like, we're not seeing this. And so that was on purpose. But it was actually surprising how little language people used. I didn't cut around.
You guys are disappointing me.
Disappointing? We watched a man vomit in a crane shot. I'm not disappointed at all. Yes, yours next.
I have to say, as great as this was, the one thing we have to remember is the hackers are the ones you drink with. They're the ones you remember. They're the movie. The ones that are on the screen. They're not the ones you read about. They're the ones you're going to have beer with. And that's the way it works.
Another fine question. yep, right there, miss.
Hi, okay. So I know that you gave out several of the little handheld cams.
Yes. Line footage overnight, those first four guys who waited in line, finalized the way of the line, that was handheld, we gave it to them because we're not going to sit around and watch them get slowly drunk and sad. The ass getting hit in the paddle, that came back, unfortunately. we weren't kind of supposed to shoot crystal method, so that's a handheld. There's a couple other like small pieces, mostly when you see it like be really grainy in parties and stuff, so we gave stuff out. And oh, scavenger hunt, that's right. The team shot all of their own scavenger hunt stuff. 20 hours of scavenger hunt stuff. I love this, because I contacted them and said, would you like your footage? And they're like, no.
I will tell you, I saw some really scary stuff from those cameras.
Yeah, I know.
There's a reason it's not in the film.
Yeah, no, there's I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to ruin your night. But there was a, for the part of you that care, yes, stuff came back where I was like, oh, and dropped it. So good. Congratulations. You did that. That's good. All right, go ahead. Go hit it with me.
You said there was an ass ton of footage. Are we ever going to see a director's cut?
This was the fucking director's cut. I had complete control. The for sale product has about another hour of bonus footage about more about the goons, more about Blood Code, Hackers for Charity, things that I thought were important, but this didn't warrant, you know, along with a few terribly disgusting stories.
Well, considering DT paid for all of this,
yeah.
Can we just get a torrent of everything?
All right, let DT answer that. DT, why aren't we giving them 278 hours of footage in a torrent?
Why not?
If you had to guess, how many lawsuits do you think were in there?
Answer.
Wait, is this just the handheld cameras or the ones that used to be filmed?
No, it's sooner or later, so we're going to release tomorrow the torrent for the 720p version you saw here. And I'm sure sooner or later someone will put up the HD version with the extra hour of footage. And at some point, yes, we'll have 200 and something 70 hours, but maybe that'll be a Christmas present. I don't know.
So Rachel and I are giving a talk. Rachel and I are giving a talk tomorrow at noon about the making of this document. Thank you. We're giving a talk at noon tomorrow about the making of the documentary. So we're going to walk you through everything that we made plans for. And so we'll talk about why we made certain choices. But as some of you may not have been to DEF CON last year, but we wore bright orange vests that said documentary. And the reason why was because we didn't have, you know, these things that the concerts do where they're like, by the way, we're going to use you in a special, enjoy the show. We wanted it that if a person truly didn't want to be in this film, they could visually go, oh, here come the fuckers, and get out, right? And I have much footage.
Thank you for that.
I swear to God, I do have lots of footage where I go into a group and someone goes,
I'm so angry.
That to me is them saying, I would prefer if you cut around me, to which I did. So that was a way of kind of doing that. So I don't think we're ever going to release the full amount, because there are people for whom it is quite obvious that they're like, oh shit, the camera's here, bah. So I want to respect that. I mean, this was a huge leap of respect. This was a 180 on letting people come here and film, right? We went everywhere. There was only two places we couldn't go into.
You
one
would
of them
do
was
it right. You're the only person that would do it right.
Right, and I trust that. I appreciate that trust. But the thing is, that's what you said. But part of that trust is saying, okay, we were trusted with this, so we're not going to turn around and just release every single footage. But I mean, you know, I've got quite a bit that I think is pretty decent. So in the future, we might produce more and put it out for you. And I, like I said, it's a matter of redeeming that trust. I don't want to have a thing where a person goes, hey, guess what I found today? So, all right, yes, in the red.
Was the second place the Hacker Pimps party?
The two places
you couldn't go. What was the second place?
Oh, the first one was the bathroom. I segued into a bathroom. Don't do that. Don't segue into a bathroom when a casino host is coming out of one of the stalls while filming, which is why we were running in there. There's a great footage I have of a guy at a urinal going, dude, what the fuck? It's the greatest moment in that young man's life, I'm sure. Guy in a cowboy hat with a Segway coming at you with a camera. The other time we weren't allowed to film, the only other time we weren't allowed to film was we, by mistake, okay, rule 5, never approach a goon conference from the back. We did that by mistake once. So that's the other time where it was like, you're stopping now because, you know, that's not cool. We settled that. The goons were wonderful to us. The staff was wonderful to us. We were only mistakenly accused of sexual assault once. We cleared that up. And we were treated really well by both the staff, the people, and everyone. So, I mean, our crew members are, you know, there's many wonderful bits. Can you? Yes. Hello, Fuzzy. What's up?
So, compared to your past documentary efforts, how do you feel, like, the production of this one went? And, like, what would you do differently at, say, 30?
Okay, so I don't know if people know, I'm shooting 3 other documentaries right now. One on the 6502 chip, one on the medium of tape, and one on the place of arcades. And this movie has completely changed how I've made those films. They look better, they have more B-roll, they are shot in much better equipment, and I feel like a more visually engaging piece as opposed to Talking Heads, which I like. That was one of Jeff's requests, was please don't make a Talking Head movie. Not a Talking Head movie. So, and I think there was another request you had, but again, they were just requests. It was like, try not to focus just on the staff. So I focused on the people, and when we showed the rough cut, the staff was like, why aren't you focusing more on the staff? So we went back to more of the staff. Luckily, we had shots of everything that ever happened in DEFCON ever, so we were able to pull from that. But yeah, it was very light like that. So anyway, my films, I think, will be much, much better for it. What? Why is it?
I mean, what changed?
What changed for me was realizing that, yes, it's good to have static shots, but that the audience is even more engaged if you're able to find the motion and emotion and demonstration aspect of the subjects. BBS documentary is completely in your head. GitLab is almost completely in your head. And this one was not 100% in your head. You're seeing things happen. So that's really affected me, and I think my films will be so much better for it. So that's a growth that I experienced at 42. Yes, right here.
With so many options available, how did you select the music for it, and who played the closing credits?
The closing credits are a special song written for this. The version with lyrics is on the USB stick. That was done by the artist Zoe Blade, who I had work with me on GitLamp, and so I hired her as a soundtrack artist. The rest of them are Creative Commons attribution only songs that I went by going through hundreds of tracks and finding the 13 that don't suck. I gave away this for free, we know. But then there's ones in there that are just mystical and magical, and I love them. And I choose music that tends to be drony and melancholy I'm sorry, that's what I do. But there are some beautiful pieces in there. And yeah, Zoe gave me unfettered access to all of her stuff, and then every once in a while she'd dump another 12 songs on me, and I'd say, I'm going to use this piece, I'm going to use this piece. Some of them are combinations of two songs. And I love that last piece of her, you know, that beautiful piece. And it was a gift that Stephen Longram came out of nowhere. He was a guy from London who flew to L.A., bought a GoPro, rented a car, and drove to Las Vegas with time lapse. And said, can you use this? And I was like, yes. just came, just dropped it in my lap. So fantastic for him. I'm gonna keep going for other people, you hog. Right over here. Yeah, stand up. Yep, right there.
All
right.
I just want to say that my friend asked a cop question, but it was kind of started out as more of a comment. We tried to come here for 10 years.
Oh yes.
And I just wanted to say that that video was pretty inspirational.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
21 years ago, I'm 26. How the fuck do you look so young? My second question is, are your videographers all hackers themselves?
Okay, so the interesting thing was I did a Kickstarter for 3 Foot. We'll figure out Jeff's secret to the Fountain of Youth in a moment. But I mean, that's kind of funny, because yeah, in there I show some shots of him when he starts DEF CON. It looks the same. He's like, down here. We're all going to be like, DEF CON 80 was awesome. He's going to be like, hey guys, is everyone enjoying it? That's going to be awesome. But what happened with my videographers, actually, was, so I was doing this Kickstarter. People funded 3 films. And they were like, oh, P.S., I'm now going to take a year off from the 3 films that you paid for me to make by making another film. Well, that could have. So I said, who in my Kickstarter backers, if you like my films, want to help me make a film? And 5 people came forward. So you, Rick, and you. And so no previous experience before this film.
Wow.
They learned on the job. Eddie, however. Eddie is my ringer. Eddie did films, he's done Boing Boing TV, he does lots of appearances. You should hire him, he's at eddie.com, and we've been long friends for a long time, and I said, it's good to have just kind of one person who knows which end has the lance. So Eddie's there just to kind of keep it up. But Rick, who's not here now, he also, no previous filming experience. So we just had a nice little boot camp on Wednesday, and that's how it went, and that was the result. So. And you can see, if you listen to the raw footage, you can actually hear the difference. I keep saying this, because in the beginning, Kyle's like, very like, so tell me more, if you can, tell me more about DEF CON. And like, by like Saturday, he's like, yo, what are you doing? What's up here? And you can hear them, and people are like, oh, whoa, I'm partying. So that was really awesome. But yeah, so that actually worked out really, really well, that I had Kickstarter backers who supported me, and that's how we got our crew. So, you know, who knows? If you believe in yourself, you know, next thing you know, you're flown to Las Vegas and shooting a drunk person at 6 inches away. Good luck on that. And we'll, like I said, we'll discuss that in greater detail. Does anyone have any questions for all these other poor people who are over here staring at me?
How does he look so young?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. How many boys do you fillet to make that skin look like a best?
Long time ago, and I'll make it with you as long as you make it with me. It's a reciprocal deal. And the deal goes, if you invent the nanobots, or you find the Fountain of Youth, or you become a vampire and you live forever, whatever, I don't give a shit. If you figure out how to live forever, you have to tell me. But if I figure out how to live forever, I have to tell you. Are we down with that? Can we make that deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's life.
Good. So I can neither confirm nor deny if anybody has already told me. But there's more than one solution for any given problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the magical things about Jeff, which, I mean, one of the reasons, so some of this stuff starts to border a little bit crazy for people who are really insider for how much Jeff there is. And the reason why is because for a lot of people, he's this ethereal figure who floats in and is like, whoa, we're having a great time, and here's a crazy thing I'm doing. He leaves because he's working and doing this other high-level stuff everywhere. And so I really wanted you to know him. Go, oh, here he is, and this is what he's involved in, and have the goons get their respect, and you understand what's about the goons, because it's too easy to focus on the fact that the red shirt made you move back 6 inches in the line and suddenly, you know, fuck it. And so I wanted to make sure that you understood the people who put this thing together, especially like that network center you saw. Nobody's allowed to see that. So it was like, look at all the work they're doing back there. So that's why there's a lot of Jeff in this thing, because I really wanted Jeff. And Jeff was very generous, but unbelievably hard. He paid he paid tens of thousands of dollars to make this movie, and it took us months for me to get to interview him. because he's so busy. But we did it. We did it. And then the footage came back, and it was really, really in bad shape.
Well, if you noticed, I was asleep like 30 minutes before
that. Yeah, no, you look it. That's there, yeah. I know. But I felt so bad. I'm like, he paid for it. He's like,
are we going to interview again? And you're like, oh, yeah.
Hi there. Oh, yeah, DEF CON was great. I really got it.
Yeah.
So, but the thing was, it came back completely echoey. So I hired an old friend, Andrew Sega, from the mod scene, and he applied, believe it or not, he applied, when you take two waves and knock inverse, yeah, he did inverse transforms and cancellation on it using software to make it legible again. So everything you hear in the Jeff thing is just complete bizarre CSI bullshit you'll never be able to get. Zoom in, make better, zoom in, make better. Yeah, and anyone who's wondering technically, like, what's up with all the crane shots, that's me on the Segway. So, yeah, that's all those Segway shots are, like, whatever.
Except for, actually, so one of our guys over here, Drew, was actually, a lot of those that look like the Segway shots are also Drew holding the monopod up like this.
Yeah, holding it up like that and going through, so there's those shots, too. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's very, unless you have the file names, it's very hard to tell which team is doing it and which person is doing it. And that's a real testament to how everyone was working together with the same vision. And then we had a lot of, like, you know, on-the-fly craziness, like we were filming RenderMan. We're like, okay, we're going to tell the story of RenderMan. And halfway through his talk, his arms went up this fucking time. Halfway through his talk, he was like, yeah, this is another case where Kaminsky is put against me.
That was my question!
Okay.
Why am I opposite Kaminsky yet again?
You're always opposite Kaminsky because you both are huge huge draws, and they don't want one room to become a fire hazard, dude. So, but I didn't know you were opposite him, and so halfway through, he's like, yeah, once again, I'm against Kaminsky, and I'm like, he's against Kaminsky. We don't have Kaminsky. We don't have any Kaminsky. And you see me, if you look at me, you see me go onto my Segway, go 40 goddamn miles an hour down the hallway, passing team members going like, go to Penn and Teller, go to Penn and Teller, and me shooting in there, and that shot where I go past all those people, that's just me going like, better get any footage I can. And then and for me, it was incredible to do DEF CON in God mode. And DEF CON in God mode is fucking awesome. I should have paid for that. Because DEF CON in God mode is where you are standing behind RenderMan while he's giving his talk. Nobody is allowed to say anything. It's like a dream, right? I might as well be like wearing just like my underwear, right? And I'm standing behind him, and then I'm like, now I wish to go to Kaminsky. And I step on a magical being, and I fly through the room, up a hallway, go into this room where I zoom past 150 people who are waiting for the chance to maybe get into the Penn and Teller, and I zoom past them. Like, I've got a thing that they do not. Fly into the room where he's talking, jump off my Segway, jump up on stage, and stand behind Kaminsky like, and now I wish to be here. That was a great moment. That was a delicious moment. And then I jumped back and got a little more of you, and so we put them up against each other in the editing, because I thought that was interesting. Because that's where they should go.
Just gotta keep this thing going, right?
All right. Do we have any more? Okay, so now you're going to have to go me, because at this point it is really dim back there. I think there's you. Did you ask a question? Or no, you, not you yet. This one right here. Pale shirt.
How did you come to estimate a number for Jeff to put on the check, and how close did you come?
Do you want those numbers out, Jeff?
Did we announce that? It's fine.
It's fine? Okay, I was paid a $25,000 fee, which is the best fucking bargain in cinema.
Yeah.
I think it works out to, I think that actually works out to half a cent an hour. And the budget was $25,000, and the final budget was $27,250. So we were pretty good. And that was for everything. That was for purchasing extra equipment, that was for flying in. What?
That wasn't the whole number.
Oh, was it? Oh, did we, I guess there were, okay. Did you protect me?
No.
Okay. I mean, but that's the budget as I understood it. But yeah. was there less, more?
No. He got paid 25 for him, and then we paid 20. We ended up paying 27. He guesstimated the budget at about 25 to get this done. And he comes back and goes, I went 2,000 over.
Damn it!
So I had to go to Jeff, and he's like, okay. So it ended up being 52 something.
Yeah, 52. Okay.
And so not all that went to him.
Sure.
Right, so 25 went to him personally, and the other 27 went to expenses.
Right, that's what I was talking about. Did I not make that clear? That
no,
I was.
No.
Oh, I'm very sorry. The budget was $25,000 and went completely to me, and everybody was on their fucking own. Everybody just paid for it. It was the greatest Ponzi scheme I've ever run. When you make a movie, make the crew pay, make them come and tell them they're learning, and holy shit, you can just ride those people like ponies until you turn them to glue. It is the greatest scheme I have ever invented, greatest hack of DEF CON. No, anyway, sorry for that, but yes, I was paid up, and I must say, by the way, that I was being buried by a number of credit cards, and I paid them all off in one fell swoop with that money. And I am completely credit debt free. So I don't care. But if you want to play the hourly game, what I got was a year and a half of pure bliss of no longer being crushed by credit card debt that I had.
Awesome movie.
Gained you. Oh, yeah, the movie came out the side. And then it was a movie. So, anyway, I mean, that's so important. That's one of the most important things to me, was that money really changed my life and made me get a new phase in my life of being credit card debt free.
Yeah, money can buy happiness.
Money can buy happiness.
Yeah,
it's
what a hookers and blow!
Hookers and blow. I'm sorry we didn't have any of that in the movie. Yes. What?
It's me.
Oh, yeah.
It's you.
Hey, dude, how you doing? What's up? So what's the movie?
That's a good question.
It
my grandmother will
that.
Understand where I'm going every year.
So when I made this movie, one of the things that took me so long when I edited it, right, was I made it for three different groups. People who, like you, are just like at DEF CON, and here we are, and here's our propaganda film that makes us feel better. Then there's people for whom they used to go to DEF CON, but it's no longer in their hearts anymore. They remember it was cool, but ever since they, I don't know, added a pony, made it pink instead, added this, made it this much, I don't go anymore. They can go to and go, oh, that's what it's become. Oh, you can see where it's still good. And the one of the people who work at the duplication company, she was a member of the bed jumping mafia, and she hadn't come here for 6 years, and she's like, I'm coming this year now, having watched it. So, you know, it's for people who, like, used to go, but don't go anymore. They go, oh, look, I can see the streams of what I used to believe in. Yeah, I love that. And then maybe I'm off, but I really do feel like if you know nothing about DEF CON, you will come away from it. I've coded it with all sorts of things, like the GTE door and parts of Alexis Park and mentioning Pool 2 and having other things that to us we go, oh, that. Or to see a person and go, oh, it's that person. But I think for a person who has no context whatsoever, I showed it to a few people who have no context whatsoever, and they two different responses. One was, I have to go to DEF CON next year, and the other one was, I'm glad I saw that. I'm never gonna go. But I'm really, like, I feel like, in other words, like, you know, if you see a documentary on some crazy thing that happens in Europe and you never go to Europe, you're like, I'm glad I saw that. Wow, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a series of, they're going to shut up a phone system or something, and then they have a meeting or something. And now they're like, oh my God, there's so much drinking. That movie is bathed in alcohol. There's a lot. And if you're wondering, like, on the timeline, you're like, well, what's the first? The timeline was that guy throwing up, and I just built a movie around it. That's my favorite shot. This guy's puking. Okay, crane shot, why not? Why help him? Why talk to him?
I was really happy that you had the vomiting guy.
Yeah, I had the vomiting guy.
Because the first time Jeff McNamara, the attorney, came, he shows up at Alexis Park, and he's like, he steps onto the property, and immediately everybody's like, that's the Fed.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, I don't know what they're talking about. And then he walks in, and there's a guy who, like, hurls in the garbage can right in front of him. Right, and then he looks up, looks at Jeff, he's like, ugh, Fed! And I was like, that must have been a very surreal experience.
Yeah, that really just changed your your perspective on what you just signed up to help this guy with. I really like the magic of the fact that Jeff kind of showed up randomly when we were being interviewing. And that's the thing, right? Like you mentioned the fire marshal. I had a few people ask about the fire marshal because that was a big DEF CON deal. So for it's coded there for us to go, the fucking fire marshal. But for everyone else, they're just going to be like, oh, whatever he was talking about, oh my God, the lawyer's here. And I love it. I mean, Jeff McNamara was just freaking awesome.
Jeff actually answers the phone in the middle of a documentary interview. Oh, hey, what's going on?
I'm paying for this, fuck it. Hey. I'll run the clock, whatever.
Hang on, Jason.
I'm paying for my lawyer's time and my documentarian's time. Fuck them. I'll make them work together. I'll save money. Brilliant. Rachel, do you have any statements you want to say? I've been dominating the stage. Okay, that's fair. So we're giving a dual talk to get tomorrow at noon again. So that's the 90-minute. Yes.
And we're showing the movie again.
Tomorrow. Oh, and we're showing the movie again tomorrow night. If you want to recommend it to people, we'll see if we can really pack that room.
That'd be awesome.
So we'll show it again in case you're like, oh, it actually doesn't suck. You should see it.
No, I think it's gonna be more like, dude, you're in it. I saw you. You should go watch it.
Oh yeah, no, that's starting to happen. And on the whole, I hope people see it and they're like, yay.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, Black Day's daughter is in there, and I stuck that in just for them, a little gift, you know, here's your daughter in the shot. And I try to put in people's families and stuff, and so for the Hacker Jeopardy, there's a shot of Ashley and her mother, you know, just to say, look, there's your family's in here. And so I try to show respect that way. And yeah, I suspect some people, I was showing it to one test guy, friend from Methuen, I've known him for a few years, and there's a shot in Hacker Jeopardy where you see three people. They won one of them, so I put them in, like, posing for a moment. And he's like, that's Steven! Like, a coworker. I was like, well, Steven went to DEF CON, buddy. And he was in a drunken contest based on Jeopardy.
Was he the one with the painted nipples?
No. That guy's not going to like he's in this, is he? Yeah, exactly. Too bad. You went on stage, buddy. Okay, so wait. Okay, so you two, and then you, and then we'll see where we are. Yep, go ahead.
Either one of you.
So I guess it's going more towards your ponies that should be blue at this point. Is there any footage that you shot that you really wish made it in? I mean, you didn't put it or not get it in there? Or, like, is it just, like, not good enough quality?
Did anything linger on the timeline longer? So many of the sequences were longer and I cut them back. I had a couple pieces of footage about things related to the scav hunt that I wish had gotten in there. And there was footage.
Director's cut.
Yeah, it's a very long movie and I don't want to do that. But I don't need to see Pippin and Merry in a fucking tree. And so it's like there were people who I interviewed who were really cool people and said really nice things, but I had seven people saying the same thing and I had to make a choice. And I feel really bad about that. And there were a couple people who we filmed and we had to go through a lot of effort to film them, you know, because they were working so hard during the flick. And we spent money to either fly them in or have people do them, and we didn't use much of that footage. And it just was a logistical thing. It wasn't a screw you. It was just, it wasn't there. And I'm like, I'm sorry it worked out that way. And so, I mean, my hope is they'll say, okay, well, it's a pretty good film. It doesn't have as much, for all that work I did. But there's so many interviews in there. You'll see one line, like Swamp Rat, right? I interviewed Swamp Rat for a pretty good time.
Was he on the toilet the
entire
time?
Yeah, Swamp Rat was on the toilet with his pants down.
The entire time.
Why did I do that? So here's the thing, because it was my idea. So Cult of Dead Cow, for those of you who don't know it, were the crazy ass clowns of DEF CON, right? But now they're in their 40s. And I wanted, and, you know, I mean, he would have been happy to, like, kind of, like, be crazy and be like, yo, Dad, don't think. But I was like, A, unseemly, B, weird. Wouldn't it be better if you just were doing something extremely off-putting and jarring while answering it as if it's a normal question? So that you get the Cult of the Dead Cow feel of like, what's happening? I don't know what's happening next, and I'm kind of scared. without, you know, making him have to dress up and jump around. So that was the thinking behind this.
You made him undress.
Yeah, I know. Here's the thing. You could measure in friggin', you know, the pulse of a fucking, you know, electron, how fast, after me suggesting, like, okay, down. So no, nothing. No thing. Your question.
I have a question for Russ and Jeff.
Okay.
Was there anything in the movie that surprised you guys?
When I saw Swamp Rat, right, I was expecting Flame Crotch.
Yeah.
But Flame Crotch didn't make it, so he ignited his crotch on stage and fired, like, explosives across the audience. And then, until there was a mishap in his crotch. And so, I was hoping that would make it, but
yeah.
I can see why you might want to cut that.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised Gleeds made it in. And it's interesting, it's a good part of the history, but we just spent so many years trying to track that piece of crap down.
Well, that was the thing, yeah. So, if you guys don't know, Gleeds tormented the Coons, so it was kind of a mutual hate thing. And so, I wanted him in there, because I was interviewing Veggie, and Veggie lives near Gleeds, and he was like, hey, it would be really nice. Gleeds was like, I'll answer some questions if you want. And he answered them all in a really funny way. And so, I said, I'm going to stick this in and see if anyone gets too angry. And that's why his job is listed as freelance perspective provider. And I just stuck him in, because his story is actually pretty funny. And I mean, he admits, like, yeah, I kind of got stuck in jail. And yeah, I kind of did. So I thought, okay, I hope that makes it past. I hope people aren't like, just the thought of him being in our arc of memory of DEF CON is terrible. But it's actually pretty funny. So it actually got through, you know, anybody getting like, it's him out or I'm going to be angry. Nobody got angry.
We reviewed that back in the spring. One of us, and Gleeds comes on screen. I'm looking around the room waiting to see, and you can feel the tension just rise. Because everybody in there is like senior staff, and they're all like, that's Gleeds, right? And I'm like, who's going to scream? And everyone was, okay, that was okay.
It was pretty, you know, and I mean, if I have someone embarrassing, like you know, the staff knows exactly whose ass that is. But nobody else knows whose ass that is, and I thought that was important.
I don't need to know.
I thought that was important that it not be traced to a person. I thought it was
weird. You didn't
want to
put the hacker handle next to it?
Huh?
As
the hacker handle.
A unique hacker ID.
Right there. Long time, now half naked, DEF CON goon. Yes, please.
Okay, so I have a comment question.
Oh, those are always popular here. Yeah.
It's my first time. The only expectation I had was scary hacker conference. Mm-hmm. You know, are they gonna, you know, take over? And now I'm psyched.
Good.
I have an awesome idea of what's going on, and I want to bring my kids next year.
Yeah.
So
good. Excellent. So yeah. So I really, really, really think that they're gonna come away from it with a different set of things than a person who's been here. They're gonna say like, well, yeah, of course, there's the line. Line's always like that, as opposed to, my God, why is the line growing so much? Holy crap, everyone's in the line. They'll have different reactions, but they'll all be an honest path to the ending of the film. They won't be like, I don't know what just happened. They'll know what happened. They won't know why, but they'll know it happened. So I hope it like spreads out there and people respond to it. You know, so one of the reasons, just so you know, as an editing thing, why does the thing start with the barbecue and the shoot? And that's, again, for people who have been here, many of you have not had a chance to go out to the barbecue and the shoot because they're way out there. We had to send poor couple people out there, and one of them got lost, and we lost them for a few hours. And you know, with the shoot, we had to do the same thing. And it was for people who were like, I always read about it, I never see what it looks like. And so that's why we did it. And I made those be the beginning because you'll notice, like, after the initial, like, dubstep introduction after the flame, which was one also shot with that handheld that came back, and I was like, in you're making creme brulee, if that's not clear.
Everyone makes it that way.
They didn't have an oven in the hotel, so they just said, okay, we don't have an oven, fine, flamethrower. Nope, tell anybody. And then from that little dubstep piece where you see a thing, you never see a computer for like 15 to 20 minutes. And the reason I did that is like, it's not about computers completely. Like, here's this crew, oh, you're hearing a hacker movie. No, it's not going to be this person hunched over while you're behind them. This is like, they go out shooting, they're seeing each other, they're excited to meet, they're gonna do stuff, and by the, you know, we don't see the computers again until after the orientation. Because I was like, it's not me. There are not a lot of lit screens in this room, I'm very proud. But, you know, I mean, it was not about necessarily computers and someone sitting in front of it getting paler and being some sort of evil genius. It was about, I met this person, I love this person is part of my family. And that's why, you know, so that was on purpose in the ending. So it starts out very strange, and then it just barrages you. That was the other challenge. We had over 50 contests and events here last year, and we had all these other subjects we wanted to cover, and I knew it was gonna be like getting your face punched for like 30 minutes. And that's why we have the party sequences, where there's nobody talking and people are having fun, so your brain can go, oh God, okay.
Yeah, so he did the tamper evident contest the same way. There's no audio. If you notice, you followed the entire sequence just watching him hand the boxes out, the people do their thing, and then hand it back, and everyone's like, oh, that's what it's about. I mean, that's, you put that kind of thing together, and everyone gets it, that's awesome. There's no narration or talking there. It's totally your brain and his directing and her help.
Yeah, no, and I didn't shoot one frame of that footage, but none of that footage is mine. That's her and one of the teams, and I had nothing to do with it. I didn't assign it or anything. It just came into my lap, and then said, let's make a movie with that. So there's a lot of that happening there. I mean, it's really as collectively gay, Jason Scott. But let me tell you, there's like, this crew has is what did it. Like, because they were like Red Team Breaking Bald, as we called them, these two bald guys. They were shooting like, they were doing a couple 20-hour days, like where they were getting up at like 8 in the morning and going to bed at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and then doing it again, and just killing themselves for this. It got a little funky on Sunday, but we did it. We got through it, and we were able to get the footage we need. And by the end, everyone is here recording the closing ceremony. I mean, this is such an enormous amount of work just to shoot the stuff. And then I had done 50 interviews before DEF CON, and then I did another like 15, 20 afterwards. So there was like all this footage and all these people, and they all opened their homes to me. 23B and Den Haag was amazing. That's where Tee Public was, and that's where there's like about 15 or 20 interviews that are in Den Haag that are done by doing different angles in the place so that it doesn't look like the same place. That's also where that bad shot in the beginning is. And that's the thing, if you see the beginning of the movie, you're like, what the fuck is with those things? And by the end, you're like, oh, those things. You're like, oh, they're back. I know what they are for now. They mean something. They're memories. They're people. They're together. Very fruity. Is there anybody else who...
I got a question.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. Look right. The anger. Yes, I think you actually... How is? Tell me more about question comment number 3.
Question comment. I've been holding my hand up for like 10 minutes.
Okay, that's okay. That's a good comment.
I just want
good
to
note.
Say that to whom it may concern, I appreciate the free beer.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the free beer. I made them like it.
I just want to know what it feels like for Mr. DT to have Mr. Zuckerberg as like a clone. And also, second question.
The two parts.
Yeah. I love.
These get better and better.
What does it feel like to wear that hat?
For you to wear the hat all the time.
Wear the hat all the time? Oh, yeah. Because in the history of everything, the best way to get on the side of an artist is to make some sort of glancing fun remark at something that he expresses himself with. Always gets a great answer. Dude, why are you so stupid? No disrespect. What's up with the fucking chapeau? He's taking me on. Alright. Mute band. Okay, is there. Go ahead, Trevor.
So, does that not deserve an answer?
I'm sorry, I had to go deal with someone who had passed out, so I may have missed a question too. But
that's okay.
This hasn't been asked.
You're yet. Forgiven.
Thank you very much. Getting to watch the previews that you sent out.
Yes.
Really, really excited me. Just the snippets that you put in there were awesome.
Right, so part of that problem was that we'd kind of promised we'd have this film out by Christmas. And then
close, we're close.
And that, yeah, we're pretty close actually. I just took down my tree. And but it worked out. I mean, it just it was like, wow. I mean, it was because I completely, I mean, it's 100% because I just completely underestimated how big a movie it was. And I didn't expect I was going to shoot more in 4 days than my previous film I shot. It was twice as much footage as I had shot in 4 years previously. So it was an enormous amount. And when we got there, Jeff felt that he had made a promise that there would be something for Christmas. So we put out a 20-minute quick cut for people to feel that they were seeing where this was going, that it wasn't just vaporware, you're never going to see me again. And so we did that. So that was the thinking behind it. But then it really kind of, you know, we had to push people into it, but it really came off like, this should really be premiered at the next DEF CON for the DEF CON attendees together. And that's how we did it, and I'm very glad we did.
All right, Jason.
Oh, you didn't finish?
No, that wasn't my question.
Okay.
But thank you.
But thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.
Here's my question. So watching that premiere, that little section you sent out, was wonderful for me and difficult, too, because it made me miss everyone here.
Oh.
And I wanted to be here. How did you sit behind the keyboard and sit and edit so many hours of that? How did you deal with it? I don't fucking care about the movie.
Oh.
How did you deal with
it? How do I deal with that?
Yeah.
You know, I spend a lot. This is going to sound like I'm going, but I spend an unusual amount of time crying while editing. I do. So like every time I see Bella, I cry because I get to see more of that with this girl, right? She's a young lady, and she's like, I hope to become a hacker, and I think I have to learn Python to do it.
And it's a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah, the 10-year-old girl, and she's got this sense. You can just tell that, like, she walked in like, oh, I'm going to some show, and she walked out with this, like, just cold fucking booted desire to be a technical hacker using Python. And that just touches me, because you can see her, she's got no idea what she's saying, like, in terms of she's not like, so I know that you people want, you know, like I'm going to grow up to be an astronaut, like, or whatever, like, I'm going to grow up to be like my parents or something, where, you know, they're kind of saying something that, you know, you want to, you're trying to show that you have a plan of some sort. She was so just honest about, like, I think I want to be one of these hackers. And I'm going to learn Python, and I'm going to learn C, I think, and I'm going to become a hacker. And I was just, like, blown away by that. And there's a couple other shots in there. I mean, obviously, the ending, this weird lucked-out shot of that kid who's standing next to DT. I love that shot so much, I put it as the dedication. Was to say, actually what we're doing is we're making this for the next generation to understand what the previous generation did. But that kid, I love that thing, because that kid is like dragged up on stage for the ceremony, and he's just like, there's a lot of you. I have no lines, I'll just sit here. He's one of like two or three kids who are being shown something or something, and he's just like, don't have any lines. Look at all these people. And he's got his little badge and everything, and behind him is the profile of Dark Tangent. Like, this is the next one.
Mr. Tangent.
Maestro Tangent. So I spend a lot of time crying, a lot of time being sad, or a lot of time being emotionally invested in it. And the thing I warn people is there's some of you who are in this film for whom I've been looking straight at your face for like a year, and I kind of love you now. And I have to be very...
Keep it in your pants!
I know! And I see them, and it must be the creepiest thing, because some of them are people for whom I like literally zoomed by on a Segway. And I'm just like, hey, buddy. And I must seem like the biggest Hollywood douchebag. But it's because I've been looking at your face straight. And Kyle caught it perfectly. At some point, I was down, and he's like, well, realize that at the end of DEF CON 20, everyone went home, except for you. You've been at DEF CON 20 for 7 months. And it was like that. I've been, you know, every day editing it for hours and trying to get just the right thing and fixing pronunciations and changing echo and making sure the cuts are smart. And there's like something like 2,000 or 3,000 edits in the movie. So it's a very complicated process, but I never left DEF CON.
And I want you to
understand.
How
do I get to do that?
Huh?
How do I get to never leave DEF CON?
How do you do that?
Every time he made an edit, I got a new version of the film to watch. Yeah. And unlike Jason, the reason I cried is because I had to watch another version of the film.
Yeah.
And I've got to thank my wife because she sat there and listened to me watch that damn film over and over. You know, and she's still married to me.
Yeah, that movie's tough to have. My brother, my poor brother who I live with, every once in a while, I would just go, Mom! I have this clip of these guys, the three drunk people who are like, one's got a fez and kind of hanging out there and like talking. In the original shot, one of the guys comes out and just goes, Motherfuckers! And I loved that, and I kept playing it in the house.
That needs to be a ringtone.
And every once in a while you hear, Motherfuckers! Shut up! And that was kind of the back and forth, me and my bro. And because I just love that clip. There was something so, like, he came out of a bathroom like, this needs me! Anyway, so yeah. No, it's tough. It's one of the toughest things. It's the hardest part of this job is to be emotionally invested in these people who are all cut from reality. They're not fictional characters. They're real people with real lives. And I learned so many people's real names. I learned so much about the internals of how DEF CON works. I learned so much about who cares about what, who hates what, and what matters to people. And it was like a crash course in life. And that's in me. That's part of the battle.
So we're not going to keep doing the Q&A because you have to save some questions for tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I want to say we're going to release the torrent file for the version you saw, the 720p version. So if you guys have any BitTorrent seeders or anything you want to help spread the word, we're going to release it probably tonight or tomorrow morning. So when you see that go out, if you want to help spread the word for everybody, that'd be cool. Part of the reason I wanted to do this was I wanted to give it away to the community. But if you want to support it, please go buy a copy. You get some extras and some lanyards and some outtakes that we don't want to spread right now. We want to give something special for the people who help sponsor it. So, but for the main torrent, please spread the word and give it away, because really it's a gift for the community. It's not like...
Thank you, DT.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Didn't have to do that. Fantastic. And if I... Yeah, wait.
Bye, Jason.
In from New York.
So be proud. Be very proud. Brilliant.
So you have to tell him, though, the what was said before the movie.
I didn't get the public speaking gene from him. He's not into that. But yeah, no.
What did your dad say to you before the film when you introduced him to Jeff?
Son, I've never loved you more than this moment. That's what I heard.
That's not what he said, though.
Come on, Jeff. Oh, no. I'm going to let you say it. Because I don't remember, because I've been staring at a movie.
No, it was essentially, it's like, wow, you've got to be really proud of your son. This is an amazing movie. And he's like, we'll see.
Pwn.
Well, thank you. Please buy the movie.
Is he proud?
See the BitTorrents.
He's pretty proud. He came here. Come on. He flew in to see the place. That's pretty cool.
To Vegas.
First DEF CON for him. Come on.
Yay. All right. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you very much for coming and seeing the very first premiere. Yay. Bye.
I'll email you about that I'm looking for.
And now you see what I mean.
I watched the first episode of the
party. Hey, it's all in the
audience. You know who they are.
I'm just kidding. Well, a lot of what you did makes a lot of sense, is that some of it is the inside information.
Someone just was with the audience watching it. They saw the stickers.
So, did you, were you in hers?
I'm in Hacker's Week.
Oh, okay.
It was me and Caesar who grew up together for reasons I don't
know. Caesar. She was that. There was no plan. That was a college project.
So she kind of paired us up together. It was funny because Caesar and I had things, interactions.
Yeah. Hers was done as a college project, not as a.
Maybe hopefully now and when she's like here, whatever reason. But you notice what I noticed about like how alcoholism and sexism are inherent in it without being called out as things worthy of discussion.
Well, that's why I made the comment about the cursing. I was absolutely surprised
at how little cursing.
At the opening, it was like, okay, bam, you set the stage for anticipating it. And that's why I asked the question. And there was noticeably absent.
There's little things that happened to work out that way. It wasn't because I was cutting things successfully. And so this, he says, in the middle of fucking nowhere.
I mean, it's no worse than it would be called. It's PG-13.
I didn't have any naked footage of any sort. There wasn't anyone I was pulling. I wasn't hiding it. So there's one part with this girl.
It almost would have been gratuitous.
Yeah, we sent a tape in. You didn't get all the nudity we had.
I mean, you could have done the second night of Hacker Jeopardy, but it almost would have been gratuitous.
Well, that's the thing. I wanted to show that Hacker Jeopardy happens, but it's not important in the realm of things to know, well, who won or that terrible
right. Absolutely not.
There's Hacker Jeopardy. Because there's very little like callback plot. You don't follow the story of Willie the hacker, his first day at DEF CON, and you watch him experience DEF CON.
That's a different.
That's what Google Glass is for.
Right. That's the movie I just thought would be really difficult for how much footage there was. If DEF CON was smaller in a way and it had less stuff, I would say, let's personalize. Let's follow a kid and have him meet Jeff at the end and whatever. We would have done a contest beforehand just people to like submit a video. This is we met and we hung out with Morgan Spurlock a little bit to talk about this, and he was talking about how they personalized it. What they did was they had like 20 people send in tapes, and they chose 5 of them and then followed them, and then they used 3 of them.
Yeah.
So that was a thing, and I was like,
that's like America's Funniest Videos kind of approach.
It's a certain approach that I don't do. So instead, the number one thing I didn't mention, the number one hardest thing was,
I'm completely fascinated to know,
how do we go from the 20 years from now to what the kids standing at?
Yes.
That was a major thing.
Bing, bling, 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 bling.
Kids are awesome tits on Death
Yes.
And so what it is it's that really weird scene.
Or does a movie about something unrelated that has to do
with people like. But it's intentionally cut to be weird sounding.
Yeah,
weird.
So
you stop thinking about there was a kid thing and we're thinking about, like, what's up with this guy?
Where do I buy the movie? In the vendor area?
Yeah, the vendor area, and I'm sure Jeff has one signed.
I want to pay for it.
Well, the swag people, hacker stickers on it. Hey, Pop.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Jason, I'm going to run. I got to do some.
Awesome job.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about
cool.
your audio
you
tape movie.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, yeah, the cassette
great.
Tape movie. Oh, sorry.
Magnetic.
Tape, magnetic tape.
Because you know that's my former career.
Right. I want to talk to you.
And my father and Phil Ramone. You know Phil Ramone. And he died. And I mean, I have a massive amount of shit for you, including stuff with Eddie Kramer that I found.
I would love to talk to you.
Another time, later. Go enjoy. Go enjoy. We got parties and drinking. We haven't started yet.
Go for it. Do good things.
See you later. I'm hungry.
All right, I got to pee.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
And
you got cheese.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm
doing
it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired of getting my emails. Yeah, no, but like literally, like.
I didn't go to one of my
Someday you'll be in a movie.
Someday I'll be in a movie?
No, he's in there somewhere. So there's a bunch of shots of him and I with the camera.
Right. I definitely saw most of the other people.
I think you're in there somewhere.
It's just so funny that Mark was in the movie that you
I know that was. I didn't even know he was reviled. I didn't know that. He's banned from life. That's what is he doing? Oh my God! That is. How do I? He's such a nice normal person now. Seriously, such a
he's banned from life and definitely.
How? All right. That is too out of control.
Appears, you can't believe. So it means a lot more to us than when it happened.
So there's a couple things in there that are basically touchstone, cultural touchstone. You know, Brad, the one thing you may not have known, or maybe you didn't notice, is I didn't want your partner up on the stage.
It's been a long year.
Because I thought it was confusing.
Yes.
But it's good.
But I wanted to acknowledge that he played some sort of important part. So you had that thing.
Yo.
In the beginning,
hi.
And there's this guy.
How are you?
I'm good. Where did Alex go? We lost him already?
Well, you know what? I ran off to the restroom and saw him in there. So he's at DEF CON somewhere. But he was talking to a big group of people in the restroom, like he knew them all. So
he's good at making friends.
He is good at making friends. I'm telling you, he's going to be the next producer.
The next what?
out. He like he's the intern archivist.
Oh, I see.
You know,
okay.
And he's so like social and outgoing. I could conceive of him convincing the next Jeff Bezos to give lots of free Amazon space to the inner archive or something like that.
They know what they're doing.
They don't.
It was mentioned during the
By the way, my wife says hi to everybody that she's met, so Sarah says hi. She's fine. She's just at home because we've got, you know, teenagers coming and going. It's always Wednesday, Thursday, and the DEF CON starts the next one.
Well, I guess it's not like DEF CON's kind of like
it is. Research activities. It's like, you know, I would have made a more effort to get over here earlier if I had.
That's my favorite thing, buddy.
All right, IMDb trivia has got.